Take your Bible if you will tonight. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, one of the great accounts in the Word of God. And one of the ones that, I'll be honest, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I preached, I think, week before last to the kids at school on this kind of subject. I got to thinking, hey, it's good for everybody, all right? So just look at it and... I like it. I like this account. It's Elijah. He meets the prophets of Baal. He meets them on Mount Carmel. And I love the story. I love what happens. I liked it when I was a kid, and I still got enough kid in me to still enjoy it, all right? We're not going to read the whole story. If you're not familiar with it, then that means you weren't in Sunday school, all right? But if you were in Sunday school any length of time, you heard this story. And I'll encourage you, if you're not familiar, to read the whole thing later, but not now, all right? Just look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know, we like to look and think, boy, people are different, we've changed, but I wish that was true, but it's not. It is not. People haven't changed very much. Here's Elijah, he comes up, he lays it out. He said, all right, simple thing. If God's God, we'll follow him. If Baal's God, then we'll follow him. What do you think? We don't think. You know, maybe some... I don't know, you know, just sit there, no decision. Too many Christians today are like these folks in Elijah's day. We seem to have trouble deciding which side of the fence we're actually going to come down on, you know. We have a trouble making that decision, and when confronted and challenged by a man of God, people's favorite tactic is to be noncommittal. I just don't want to say anything, you know. I don't want to commit myself. Good lands, why not, all right? Why not? If that's you, then what are you waiting on? Hey, either the Lord, you know, does he have to send fire from heaven to convince you? I would hope he didn't, all right? And I just want to preach to you tonight on just do right. Just do right. Amen. Very simple thing. You'd be surprised, just that one decision, how much trouble it keep you out of. Just do right. Most of us sitting here, we understand what right is. You know, we're not in here quibbling and thinking, well, I don't know. No, we know what's right to do. It's the right thing to do, just do right. Let me give you about four or five areas. Number one, you ought to do right by the Father. You ought to do right by the Father. I'm talking about God. Look, God's been so good to you and me. You can chalk it up however you want to. He's been so good. Hey, he didn't kill us when he had every right to do it. But he didn't do it. Even after we got saved, we've done things, I'm sure, disappointed him greatly. But man, what a good God. He didn't kill you when that came along, all right? Hey, way back there, he sent his son to pay our sin debt. Then he offered eternal life to us as a gift. You can't beat it, you know. And he said, I'll give it to you. You can have it as a gift. He said, all you have to do is accept it by faith. It doesn't get any simpler than that, all right? Just as simple as it can be. Here it is. He went to the cross. He died. He shed his blood for your sin, for my sin. And if you'll trust him, I will give you eternal life. You'll just call upon me and ask me in faith. Man, simple, simple, simple. But our problem is after salvation, we've disappointed him so many times. We've let him down. We've let him down. But wait a minute. He still loves us. Still loves us. He's still long-suffering toward us. I don't know if you ever stop and just think about it. You know, most of us like to forget some things. I understand. But if you ever sit down and tallied up how many things you've let the Lord down, reckon how long that list would be. You know, where you've disappointed him. When maybe you had a chance to stand up for the Lord and take a and be a witness for him, and you just backed off a little bit, all right? You didn't do it. And you just disappointed him. Maybe had the opportunity to do right, but instead you chose to do wrong. Hey, you're to do right by the Father. And I, you say, what do you mean? I mean, just commit yourself to serve him to the best of your ability. Here I am. I'm just going to commit myself. I will serve you to the best of my ability. Well, preacher, I can't do. We're not talking about what you can't do. We're talking about what you can do. Talking about what you can do. Well, I can't sing. Don't have to sing. You don't have to be a singer. Well, I can't play any kind of instrument. You don't have to be able to do that. Don't have to do that. I'm not talking about what you can't do. What can you do? Just what have you got the ability to do that you can do, that you can take and serve the Lord? I mean, give yourself 100% in total devotion to him. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that all you do is go around reading your Bible and quoting scripture, all right? That's not what it means. It just means, hey, Lord, every opportunity, I'm going to serve you. I will be faithful. I'll serve you. I'm going to start living my life like he's real. And he's real 7 days a week, not just one. I think he's real to some people for just a few hours on Sunday morning. And when they get in a mess and need emergency help. Hey, we ought to live your life, though, like he's real all the time. Every day, all day long. I mean, he sees what you do. He cares about what you do. He's concerned about you. Why not just make up that decision? Hey, I'm going to do right by the Father. He sent his son to die for me. I'm going to do right by him. I'm going to take my life, every opportunity, everything I can, I'll do for him. I will do it. You say, what can I do? One thing you can do, you can be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. Everybody can be faithful, all right? You can stay in touch with him. You can pray. You can pray. You can read your Bible. Those are things. They're simple things. They're easy to do. And I've said it before, if you can't read or don't like to read, well, you can buy it and let somebody read it to you. You can, nowadays, you can stick headphones and earplugs in your ears or whatever, you know, and you can listen mowing the grass or you can listen driving down the road, you know, just whatever. There it is. There's that ability to do that. I'm just saying, hey, do right by God the Father. 100%, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm going to commit myself. Not like the folks did in Elijah's day. If God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. What do you say? Nothing. No, let's make a commitment. Lord, I'll follow you. I'm going to do right by you. Can I say this to you? Just simply do right. Not only do right by the Father, but do right by your family. Do right by your family. Psalm 68:6 says, God setteth the solitary in families. Folks, I don't know if you realize this, but God put you in a family and he did it on purpose. Amen. Did it on purpose. Truth of the matter is you need that family. You need that family. You're not like a little baby, a turtle that hatches out of its shell, climbs out of the nest, makes its way to the water, and swims, and they're on their own from day one. You're not. God didn't make us that way. He made us human beings. He put us in the family, and we're dependent on one another. As a child, you're dependent on your parents. Somebody had to take care of you. Somebody had to feed you. Somebody had to change you. Somebody had to watch over you. Somebody had to keep an eye on you, because if they didn't, you'd have done something dumb. And you have to have somebody there to corral you, all right? Every kid has to have somebody there to corral them, you know? You're not going to like this illustration, but it just came to mind. I've been to a stock show, and they're showing pigs. And you watch them show those pigs, and they take a little thingamajiggy, I guess. That's the official name for it, is a little thingamajiggy, all right? And it's long, and they walk along, and they'll tap that pig, that hog, on the side, And where, if they want him to turn left, they'll tap him on the other side so he'll turn. They do. Hey, that's kind of what you have to do with kids. You have to go along. Now, you can't use a thingamajiggy like that because you get in trouble, all right? They'll accuse you of beating your child. But, we have to do that. You have to stay after them. You have to keep an eye on them. If they don't, they'll be out in the street. You know, they'll get away from you. It never occurs to them to be careful. You have to teach them. You have to train them. Hey, can I say this to you? You say, man, I'm not that way anymore. I'm full grown. Yeah, and you still need your family. Hey, that's true. If you're the dad, you're the mom, or you're the child, you need your family. You need your family. You ought to do right by your family. Oh, wait a minute. I know. They're not perfect. It's okay. You ought to fit right in, because you're not either. I fit right in. I'm not perfect. No, none in my family are perfect, and so I fit right in. And you say, what do you mean do right with them? Well, just decide to love them. Just decide to love them. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to say this to you. I realize that's more difficult for some than it is for others. I realize that. Some of you, maybe you grew up in a home where your parents, they were abusive. They did not do right. They didn't treat you right, anything like that. You say, well, preacher, what about that? Decide to love them. Decide to love them. Said, I can't do it. I just don't. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Listen, I believe this. I believe love is what you decide to give. You make a decision. I'll decide whether or not I'm going to love somebody. I make that decision. I decide if I'm going to love that person or not. And it's up to me. It's up to me. It's not up to that person. You can be despicable. You can be honorary. You can be hard to get along with. But if I want to, I can still decide to love you. That's why I love Brother Pike. So I had to put that one in. He's been giving me trouble all day today, all right? So just been after me. Hey, you make a decision. You decide whether or not you want to love people. You decide that. It's up to you, all right? Decide to love them. And as a child, decide if you're a child, decide to obey your parents. Obey your parents. Hey, as a dad, you make a decision. I'm going to love my home. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to step up. I'm going to do what I should. I'm going to be the example. I'll be there. That's what I'm going to do. And you say, my kids are grown. You still need to do all of that. Still need to do all of that, all right? If you're the mom, then you decide, hey, I'll go the extra mile if necessary. I'll go the extra mile if necessary. I'm going to give it everything I've got to have a godly home. I'm going to serve as an example in that home. I'm going to give it everything I've got. Why? You need to do right by your family. Do right by your family. Listen, as a parent, can I say this to you? Your kids did not choose to be in your house. You brought them in. All right? You brought them in. They were born. You said, well, they're not the kid I'd have picked if I could have picked. Yeah, I've often thought, hey, they don't do it anymore, but years ago, you know, children would be born and dad, he's out in the waiting room pacing or sitting doing whatever. Child is born and they bring you over to the nursery and you could look through the glass window and they'd say, this one is yours. And, I always wanted to do that because I've got this streak in me and I want to be standing there next to another dad, look at mine and say, hey, you want to trade? I've always wanted to do that. Now I'm glad I've got the one children I have, all right? I'm glad, but I always wanted to just try that, okay? Hey, but you and I need to remember, you say, well, that's not the child I pick. Hey, it's the child you raised. It's the child you raised. You said they let me down. I'm sure they would. Kids will do that sometimes. But just decide to love them. Try to do right by your family. They may be wrong. They may be doing wrong. Your mom may be wrong. Dad may be wrong. The child may be wrong. But you ought to decide to do right by your family. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't cut them off. Don't be quick to say, I'm done with you. Don't be in a hurry to do that. Be very, very careful. I'm glad the prodigal's father was willing to let him come back home. Glad he was willing to let him come back home. I mean, just receive him back. Do right by your family. Make that decision. I'm just going to do right by my family. Well, they're not. Okay, they're not. We can talk forever about what's not. But let's talk about doing right by them, okay? Your decision. I'll do right by my family. I'll do right by them. Hey, thirdly, do right by your finances. Do right by your finances. So I know where this is going. Good. Glad you do. Hey, 10% of everything, of your increase, the Bible said, belongs to God. 10%, the tithe, belongs to Him. It's called a tithe. It's to be brought to Him because it belongs to Him. Leviticus 27:30 tells us that the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord. The third chapter of the book of Malachi says this: when we rob God, when we don't give God what belongs to Him, we rob God. Well, I want to encourage you to learn to do right with your finances. There are all kinds of programs. There are all kinds of people. There are all kinds of promises made. Do this, do this, do this, and it'll settle your finances. One of the wisest things you'll ever do is learn to be a good steward of what God gives you. A great part of that begins by realizing the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, I've believed this. I've heard it all my life. I do believe it. You have a choice. You can give it or God will take it. It's a whole lot better if you give it. Just a whole lot better if you'll learn to give it, all right? Just learn to give it. Give him what belongs to him. It irritates me. Go to a restaurant, and the restaurant wants you to give 18 or 20% tip. I can't help but think God only asked for 10%. God only asked for 10%. And people get mad and won't go to church because the preacher preaches give that 10%. But hey, you'll keep going to the restaurant, and they ask for 18 or 20. Look, we've got things out of whack, all right? Learn to do right by your finances. If you'll set those up. Hey, by the way, that 10% belongs to God. Let me tell you this. If you're a tither, remember that you're commanded to be a good steward of the 90%. The 90%. You need to be careful about it, all right? There is more stuff nowadays to want than there has ever been. There is more stuff to want than there has ever been. I mean, just pick any place you want to go. There's stuff in there. If you've got a few years on you the way I do, you can go in the store, you can go in places and think, never seen anything like that. I mean, kitchen gadgets. How many kitchen gadgets are there? Man, you can get this mixer, that mixer. You can get this machine over here. You can get a toaster. You can get a toaster oven. You can get a convection oven. You can get air popper. You can get air fryer. You can get a, what do you call them things, that pot, the, not a crock pot, but the Instapot, all right? Got an Instapot. See, y'all know all the gadgets that are out there, all right? There is more stuff nowadays than you've got cabinet space to put it in, all right? And we look at all of that, and man, there's just so much to want. Now, we look at kids and jump on them, but adults are no better. There's all kinds of electronic gadgets, you know? All kinds of stuff. All kinds of choppers. All kinds of stuff like that. I remember as a kid, if we wanted to chop nuts, we had this one deal. There's a little jar, had a lid on it, and you had this area, and you put stuff and nuts in there, and you ground it by hand. That was your nut chopper. So what if we want to do it some other way? Take a knife and chop it up, I guess. There wasn't anything else. So how'd it work? I don't know. The pies tasted pretty good, you know. Everything came out all right there. It's just imagine. Hey, but we got so much today to want. to them on. Now, don't you think for a minute that your preacher would say to you, I'm above that? Because I'm not. There's a lot of stuff that I've looked at and thought, man, I think it'd be good to have one of those. Be nice to have one of them. My dad, in his later years in life, they made the mistake of watching infomercials. And stuff started showing up at their house. I mean, you know, I don't know why in the world. And if they ever used it, you couldn't tell it, all right? Couldn't tell it, all right? Why? Because advertising's good. It makes you want what you don't need. It makes you think you want it, all right? And then you get it, and you go, why did I buy this? We just wonder about it. And, that's what you said, preacher, how'd you get into that? The Bible said we're to be good stewards of what God gives us. Can I just say this and not offend you? If a $400 phone will do what the $1,000 phone will do, why buy the $1,000 phone? Why buy the $1,000? Well, it's the latest and greatest. It folds open and I have a bigger screen. Honestly, do you have to watch TV all the time, you know? It's amazing. I know all that stuff is out there. No, it is. But I'm saying to you, God says, hey, you owe that 10%'s mine, but you're accountable to be a good steward over the 90%. Do right by your finances. Be careful about wasting money. Be careful about wasting money. It's not necessary to have the latest and greatest. I'm so glad I've got two cars and they're both paid for. I'm so happy about that. I get a email from Ford where I bought the Ford I have. And they said, we're interested in buying your car. I think I'm interested in keeping it. Because I'm not interested in paying for another one, you know. Now, every now and then, it crosses my mind. Would be nice to have. And I said, no, it's not necessary. You're good. The one you got runs, air conditioner works, radio works. It'll get you where you're going. You don't need something else. Stay with it, all right? Stay with what you got. And you say, preacher, you're preaching against me having a new car. No, that's up to you. You just be a good steward of what God gives you. Just be a good steward of what God gives you. It's amazing what we think we can't live without. Hey, do right. Do right. By your finances, okay? Amen. Do right by your finances. Hey, that 90%, that's where missions giving comes in. Amen. That's where you learn to give to God. And then watch as God gives back to you. I've said to you multiple times, I preach on giving, two reasons. One, because God says give. But secondly, because I want you to get the blessing of God. And if you'll learn to give, God will bless you. Hey, do right. Do right by the Father. Do right by your family. Do right by your finances. Then do right by your faith. Do right by your faith. Look in Galatians with me, would you? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11, the Bible says here, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. Read this verse in Sunday school this morning. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live my life by the faith of the Son of God. Hey, faith, do right by your faith. We're to live by faith. We're to live by faith. We're to trust God for some things. We're to trust God for things. Now, we're not to be foolish. Don't go and say, well, I'm going to spend this money. I'm just going to have faith God will send it back. No, I've told you, God says you'd be a good steward. Good steward. You don't go up on the roof of the barn and jump off and say, I'm trusting God to catch me. All right? That's not faith. That's foolishness, okay? that is just foolishness. Now, Jude 3 says that we're to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and we're to not only contend, but we're to contend earnestly. Amen. Earnestly for that faith. Now, that faith spoken of there in Jude is the body of truth that's found in the Bible. This is our faith, all right? Somebody says, where do you find your faith? Where do you find what you believe? It's in the Bible. It's right there. I believe the Bible. Not part of it, all of it. All of it, okay? Once again, all of it wasn't written for us, but all of it was written to us. And it's there for us. And there's things that'll help us. We're to follow it, all right? That body of truth, you cannot contend for the faith if you do not live it. How do you contend for that which you do not live? How would you contend for a faith that you didn't live that faith? We're to live a holy life. We're to live a sanctified life. One that's different. That a life that faith affects everything we say and do. Every transaction, every day of the week, we do not separate our faith just for certain times. Our faith is effective all day, every day. You with me? Every day, all day. Every interaction you have with other people and the way you do it is based on your faith. The way you treat people based on your faith. The way you treat people. I went back last night. We had to go to Walgreens. I had gone to Walgreens at least a month ago. And I bought some things. And some of the things I bought was some vitamin. The doctor told me to take it. So I've been taking it. And had to buy one, get one free. So I bought it. I went by, took them there, put it all in front of the checkout, bought it, went home. And when they told me how much it was for what I bought, I thought, man, that's less than I thought. What a good thing. Well, I got home, got to looking. They didn't charge me for those vitamins. They didn't charge me. So I went back like the next day. I was out in that area, and so I went by there. And I told them what happened. And I said, and they said, well, we can't find any evidence. I said, of course you can't. You didn't ring it up. Trying to be nice. I didn't say it that way, but I wanted to, all right? And they said, well, we don't have any way to do it, you know. I said, fine. We were back there last night having to do something. And when we did, they had a bottle of those vitamins. I went and got one. I went and got it, brought it up, put it on the counter. Came time to pay for everything. Well, they were ringing us up, and I said, now listen to me. I want you to ring this up, and then you keep it. And that lady said, huh? I said, I want you to ring this up, and then you keep it, because I already got it a month ago. All right? And it's at my house, but y'all didn't charge me for it. So charge me for it now. I'll tell you, that befuddled that poor lady. Just couldn't believe it. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I promise I'm not. I'm telling you, every one of us ought to live that way. We should not live by that saying that finders, keepers, losers, weepers, all right? We shouldn't live that way. Now, we ought to do things honestly. Do things honestly. We ought to go about it. Why? Because that's my faith. My faith affects everything I do. I don't think it's right for me to get up here and preach one thing to you and then me go live something else. I don't think it's right for me to claim to believe that book and to obey that book and then get in a situation and say, well, I just figure God blessed me. No, what God did is gave me a chance to see if I was honest or not. That's what God does. He gives you a chance to see, are you going to be honest? Or are you just going to be honest, or are you just going to pocket it, you know? Hey, we ought to do our best. We ought to live our faith. Everything we do, put your faith on view before men so people can see it. Hey, why you do that? Because that's what I believe. Why do you act like because of what the Bible says? Man, to be able to do it, all right? Hey, one thing that means you're going to be faithful to the house of God, by the way. Because to live your faith, if you really believe the Bible, you're not going to be one of those people that say, well, I don't think I have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't either. I think you go to church because you are a Christian. You don't have to go to be one. You go because you are one. Just go. You're faithful. Whoever came up with that goofy idea is way out there, all right? Hey, do right. Do right by the Father. Do right by the Father. Do right by your family. Do right by your finances. Do right by your faith. Now, let me say this to you to wind it up. Decisions are kept by dedication. Dedication. You just decide. Why not just decide to do right all the time, every time, in every situation? All the time, every time, in every situation. Hey, when circumstances are good and it pays off, do it. Hey, when circumstances maybe aren't so good, so I do right. Hey, when you get down the line somewhere and you're faced with a decision, you've already made the decision. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do what's right. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to quibble about it. Growing up, hey, you don't have to do it. Look, I challenged teenagers for years and years. You set some principles in your life from the Word of God, and you live by those principles. You live by them. Make the decision now. Don't wait to say, make your decision about whether or not you're going to take that booze and drink it when you're in the car with your friends and they're passing the bottle around and it comes to you, and then you make your decision. You make your decision before you ever get in that car. Sometimes if you know who's going to be in the car, you're going to make a decision not to get in the car, all right? Hey, but you make your decision. Not going to be buffaloed into that thing. I'm not going to be pushed into that. Why? I made a decision a long time ago. Going to do what's right. Going to do what's right. Hey, that's the way Joseph did it. That's the way Joseph did it. Hey, let me say this. Joseph didn't decide that day in that room with Potiphar's wife, well, I guess I bet. No, he had already made the decision. He had already made the decision. When they passed the law there in Daniel's day where you couldn't call on any deity whatsoever, you couldn't pray like Daniel had been praying. Daniel had already made the decision years before. He didn't even think about it. He said, well, this is what I always do. It's what I'll keep doing. I already made the decision. The decision was made before the situation came up. Hey, can I say this to you? That's the way to do it. Just decide I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right when it's easy to do right. I'm going to do right when it's hard to do right. Hey, I'm going to do right when it's popular. But I'm going to do right when it's unpopular. I'm just going to do right. I'm going to do right when it wins me friends. But I'm going to do right if it costs me friends. I'm just going to do right. Just do what's right. Because one of these days you stand before God. One of these days you stand before God, and I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before Him, and you make decision now you're going to do right. When you stand before Him, you're going to say, sure glad I made that decision years ago. Sure glad I decided to do right. Sure glad. I'll tell you this. If you decide to do right, it'll sure make life easier. You won't get beat up so bad physically. Won't do it. It just won't happen. Because you decided to do right. Hey, what's your decision? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, the truth of the matter is we decide how we're going to live. Lord, there's no doubt you've been good to us. We sure ought to do right by you. Lord, you expect us, I'm convinced, to do right by our families. You expect us, Lord, to do right. You've taught us to do right by our finances. We're to do it. We're to do right by our faith. We make decisions that are going to determine how dedicated we'll be about doing right. Lord, would you just help us tonight? Just help us to decide, hey, I'm going to do right. If it takes extra effort, I'll just do right. Lord, sometimes it's not easy to do right. It's hard, and you have to work at it a little bit more.